it comes true that you love me, it's out of you.
Back on downtown, it's 4:32 Wednesday afternoon. And time for this week's Sports Lit 101. Bruce here in studio to continue our look at some of our favorite Sports Lit books of this year and some other recent years.
Yeah, this what I did last week was focus on a set of books that I thought were really good. And then I started looking over at the baseball shelves. And in 10 years, we've talked a lot about different baseball books. So I don't want people to think of this as like my favorite or what I think are the best. But a rounded, a sort of well-rounded list of things you might, if you haven't read them, you might want to get them. And you got to start out with The Wax Pack by Brad Baloukian.
So good.
Just the whole concept, the way the book is written, all the things you learn, the compassionate way he wrote it. And as we were mentioning the last week, it is the first bestseller from a university press like that. And that's from Nebraska. Then it's wintertime. As people who know me know, I love wintertime. But if you're one of those people who, when the buses leave for Florida, gets really excited, Summer Baseball Nation by Will Gagan was a fabulous book about the wooden bat leagues. And, you know, I still prefer to go to an A game, a A-level game, than a major league game any day of the week. I don't care how hokey the between-inning celebrations and things are. You know, you get a couple of dogs and some cheap beer and watch kids playing baseball who hope they're on their way up, you know, who have that wonderful sense of things. Then a book that came out in 1991 that I really would like to have a lot of people read. It's called Stolen Season, written by David Lamb. Now, David Lamb had just spent 8 years in the Middle East as a correspondent, and that became a war correspondent's job, especially when he was in Beirut. And he came home after an eight-year stint doing that, and he decided he wanted to just decompress and get back in love with something he cared about. And he spent 16,000 miles on the road, traveling back and forth all around the country, going to minor league baseball games. Now, we had a book called Perfect Pitch, which I didn't put on this list, but it's a fine book, of about a gentleman who sang at hundreds of different minor league ballparks. But you can really discover America, I think, in the minor league ballparks. You can discover it in the small rinks in the Eastern Hockey League and the like. But it's a really, really good book. Will Gagan, and that's G-E-O-G-H-E-G-A-N. Again, anybody has a question, email me through the University of Maine English Department website. You just go there and you'll find me, and people do that from time to time. Then books that are about three different baseball players by different writers. These are all people we talked to on the air. The book Smokey Joe Wood by Gerald C. Wood is a great book. Bob Ryan liked it, and that made me want to read it. And then I met Gerald Wood, and we talked about it. Really open your eyes about something about history, but no book did that more than the book by Jeremy Beer on Oscar Charlton. It's a big book, and I know that you and I both read that book and had our eyes open. It's possible Oscar Charlton was the best baseball player of all time. That is possible.
Right.
Well, we'll never know that. And we'll never know because of the situation with the color line and the discrimination against African-American players in that day and age. But, boy, you talk to the people that saw him, you look at the numbers he put up, and you saw how when he performed against white players, how well he did. Then there's a third book about an athlete by Steve Steinberg, Urban Shocker. An Urban Shocker story is another one of those stories about a major leaguer you think you know a lot about until somebody goes down and really does the research and the work. And Steinberg has written a tremendous book about Urban Shocker. It was really great. Another one, right? And this has a lot to do with At Home, and that's Ed Rice's book, Baseball's First Indian. He has another book about the Sokolex's cousin, who was the great runner. I have not read that one yet. But this is an important time. John Bear Mitchell from University of Maine and Ed and others are really, really pushing to get Sokolexis in the Hall of Fame. They've been in contact with the Hall of Fame. They've been to Canton. They think that maybe they're going to be able to have that soon. It's a very long and complicated story, but it's a story worth knowing, and it's a story worth worth really paying attention to, because I think when we look at the way we've had to fight against Native American mascot issues, it's what happened to Sock Alexis remains resonant and important. It's really good. Another book, and this is for historical purposes, that we liked was The Colonel and the Hug, about Jacob Rupert and Miller Huggins. And it's not just the building of the New York Yankees, which people might think from that, but it's the whole building of the American League and how the American League thrived. And yes, Harry Frazee gets ripped off a few times, but maybe he shouldn't have been such a profligate person to begin with. But it's a really, really good book. It's by Steinberg and Spatz. Steven Steinberg and Spatz. And then a book I love called Baseball in the Cold War, being a soliloquy on the necessity of baseball, which in its original title was Baseball in the Cold War, being a soliloquy on the necessity of baseball in the life of a serious student of Hegel and Marx, by a fellow named Howard Senzel. It's back in the, I read this back in the 80s. It's all about when the Havana Sugar Kings and the New York Yankees are playing an exhibition game and a spent bullet from one of Fidel's buddies hits a Yankee coach, and baseball leaves Cuba. And baseball, American baseball was always in Cuba. The teams were always going there. Some trained there on the off season, and we began this long period, which exists now, of animosity between Cuban government and the U.S. government on many fronts, and cost a lot of great Cuban athletes the chance to be in the big leagues. And then last year, we got Steve Geachier's huge book on baseball, The Turbulent Middle Years. It's a tremendous book because it really does describe how we get to where we are in baseball today. Baseball was king. It was king for a long time, beginning really probably in the early 1920s, still in the dead ball era. Up through the late 70s, baseball was the sport in America. You could argue that horse racing had been there once. And then in the 1970s, things start changing, and the NFL takes over. Baseball really continues to recede. Well, last year, attendance was up for the first time in a while. But Steve really gets you to the whole thing of what happens when it wasn't baseball people running baseball anymore. And, you know, we've heard Upton Bell talk about this, Bob Ryan talk about this, people that know far more about it than I do. When the people running the sports are not people who grew up in that sports, that's what happened.
Or even sportsmen.
Yeah. You know,
there's business guys trying to add to their portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a billionaire buying a baseball club and then spinning it off a few years later. You know, I mean, some guys, really rich guys, really get into it. Mark Cuban, you can like him or not like him, but he was always into his team and trying to make it better.
Yeah.
Then we have five novels. Last year's The Fireballer by Mark Stevens.
Oh, God, that was good.
Well, it was so good, and it's one of the best conceits or best ideas for a book. We don't spoil it by telling you what it is, but you want that one. And then we had two books by Tim Wendel, Castro's Curveball and Escape from Castro's Cuba. They were both really good, but I would also recommend that people read a book called Fidel's Last Days by Roland Marullo. Roland is a very well-decorated writer, written dozens and dozens of top books, also journalism and the like. All around, you know, Castro, baseball was really important to Castro. And when baseball sort of got eliminated from the equation, that may have turned Castro's thoughts in a lot of different directions. Then two books I loved, The Dixie Association by Donald Skip Hayes, where a young man is released from prison, an Oklahoma prison, early to help a baseball team, and everything that shakes out with that. A really good one. And a book that, if you haven't read it, The Greatest Slump of All Time by David Carkey. It's a book from probably the late 80s about a baseball team that suffers from depression. And it's really, it's hysterically funny at times. It's very witty, very moving. It's called The Greatest Slump of All Time, and it goes places you wouldn't think. Really good book. So those are 15 or 16 books. Again, contact me through the University of Maine.
Can I add one to that list?
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. Luke Eplin's wonderful book, Our Team, about the 1948 Cleveland Indians.
Yeah, that was a really good book, too. Yeah, and there were so many good ones.
We have had so many wonderful baseball books through the years.
All the ones, that, you know, Jim Leake writing about the guys in World War
One. Yeah.
I mean, it would be impossible to compile just that kind of a list. And so, yeah, if you need other recommendations, let me know. We got lots of them. Next time out, we're going to talk football and running or football and cycling. I haven't figured it out yet because, again, there's so many.
Yeah.
But we didn't have, and in basketball, we have a lot of basketball books. So we'll get to them all. Maybe not all before the holidays actually happen, but we'll get to them at some point soon.
Well, let's not get locked into this calendar. We decide, right?
That's right. We decide.
Thank you, Bruce.
Thank you, Rich.